Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we are joined by Matt Leaf, who is the director of USA Hockey's officiating education program. And we are going to talk to Matt today just about how the ADM impact the world of officials. So Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Harry.
Well, anyway, we've been doing this series of podcasts and we're talking a lot about the benefits of the ADM at all levels. And obviously officials are an important part of the game. So just from your perspective, what you've seen since the ADM came around in 2009, how has it impacted the officiating ranks?
The impact is going to be positive for the officials, too, especially as the ADM evolves and more member associations are participating in that. What it does right now is at the cross ice, at the 8-and-under level with the cross ice games, that is an excellent opportunity for younger and newer officials to get out and get some game experience and just get a feel for the flow of the game, get a feel for dropping the puck and maybe calling some of those more serious infractions in a fairly positive environment where they don't necessarily feel pressure of wins and losses and everything else is involved with that. USA Hockey does have a red, white, and blue cross ice officiating manual that is available for all the local associations and officials groups to be able to utilize and gives them some ideas on how they may incorporate the cross ice opportunities and components there. The next phase is as the kids get older and get into the 10U and the 12U, and they move up that ladder, and this generation of players have developed more skill. There's more players participating in the game. And I think everyone agrees that if the game is played with a little higher skill level, which the ADM is developing within the players, it's a fun atmosphere for the players and gives them that opportunity to go out and be positive. The end result is the game is better. And if the game is better for players, parents, coaches, chances are really quite good that'll be a more positive experience for the officials as well.
You know, we talk about the ADM, and you mentioned that, you know, the cross-ice hockey, and a lot of people, we've been doing a lot of these podcasts to really try to emphasize that the ADM is about much more than cross-ice hockey for mites, and that it's a whole progression system on the way up. Can you just talk a little bit about the progression system for officials? I mean, like, what age do young officials start? And I mean, just how does the whole process work for an official who's interested in getting involved?
Yeah, it depends upon the local area because there are some specific child labor issues in some various states. But for the most part, somewhere between 12 to 16 years old is a pretty good place for an official to start. And once again, the natural progression for them is they're going to go out and they're going to work, hopefully, in the ideal scenarios. They'll get their feet wet working some cross ice games, going out, dropping some pucks, getting a feel for the flow, a little bit of a feel for the positioning, even though it may be on a cross ice or half ice environment. And then from there, move into some lower level squirt, 10 and under levels, whether it be a house league or some lower level. And ideally, USA Hockey recommends that if the three official system is used, that these newer officials get an opportunity to go out, work as a lines person to get their feet wet and gain some experience along those lines. And eventually, as they gain that experience and confidence, they can move into the role of the referee and move forward. It's also critical, similar to what they're trying to accomplish or what USA Hockey is trying to accomplish with the ADM from a development standpoint, is to create that environment for the officials to have a positive experience and ultimately set them up to develop their skills and be successful. Hopefully, local areas are using a mentoring program where the officials are working with more experienced officials in their first few games and getting some very good feedback, or even in some cases, shadow programs. I know in Colorado Springs here, there's been some situations at the squirt house level where there's actually been five officials on the ice, one referee, two linesmen, and then two experienced officials that are out there that are kind of shadowing the lesser experienced and helping them get through the game, make the right calls, and most importantly, gain some confidence and have a positive experience.
Getting back to the ADM and as it applies to officials, are there any other positive things that you've seen in the first 3 or 4 years that the program has really not only taken off, but it's really starting to gain momentum across the country?
I think it's kind of still early to really tell from the officiating side of things, strictly from the standpoint of many associations are just getting on board. I notice, obviously, the peewee level, the game at the peewee, the U12 level has improved dramatically over the course of the last couple of years, and that's primarily as a result of the philosophy of the American development model and also the Learn the Check initiative with the rule changes that took place. You can tell that the squirts in those programs that are following the long-term athlete development are more skilled or more balanced. I think in those areas where it is being followed, there's fewer situations where you have one or two kids that kind of sort of dominate the squirt game or the U10 game, and the rest kind of just go with the flow. Now it appears that a lot of the kids are much more balanced, and the teams are more balanced where everyone's got the same skill level, and the games become much more competitive. And again, I can't emphasize enough, officials are no different than anyone else. They want to have fun, and they want to enjoy the experience and have an opportunity to cherish the beautiful game of hockey, so to speak. And when the game is played at a better skill level, at a more competitive skill level, where everyone is able to go out and compete on equal terms, and it's more positive for everyone else, the chances are pretty good that the official is going to have a positive experience. And with that being said, the end result of that is the official sticks around. We don't lose them, or they don't leave the officiating ranks. They gain more experience and ultimately will become our core group of experienced officials down the road.
Well, you know, Matt, you mentioned about the progressive body checking initiative that came into effect a couple of years ago. From the perspective of officiating, I know that from skill development, people are singing its praises up and down. But how about from an officiating standpoint, how do you think it's been adopted so far, and how do you think it's been working with officials?
You know, it's gone about as well as can be expected. And let's face it, the reality is there's always going to be some officials that are going to be better than others at calling whatever infractions or enforcing whatever rules take place, whether it's hooking, whether it's tripping, or whether it's some body checking thing. I think one of the things that people don't realize is from the officiating perspective, even before they took body check and emphasized the body contact aspect out of the 12U level, the vast majority of games played within USA Hockey were under the body contact categories between adult no check, the 10 and under, and the 8 and under classification. So, and obviously the vastly growing girls and women's age groups and teams and classifications as well. So the officials probably feel more comfortable, especially the newer ones, in that body contact category than even maybe some of the coaches and certainly some of the players or parents did. And I think that that transition has gone well. The games that I see with traveling around Colorado with the boys that I have that play and coaching, the games are much better. They're faster. And really the body contact issue versus body checking has not been an issue as it relates to the officiating side of things. That doesn't mean that there's not some pockets of the country where the officials are maybe struggling a little bit, but that's an ongoing process within the officiating program with videos on USAHockey.com and our seminar program to continually provide the resources for the officials to gain the knowledge that they need to successfully go out and call the game.
Do you have any other programs in place or coming down the road that's going to even provide officials with even more education in terms of differentiating between body contact, body checking, and how to really call the game correctly at those levels?
We're going to continue to produce videos and put some stuff. We just started a feature on USAHockey.com, clip of the week, where we take one infraction or one particular hockey play and kind of sort of analyze it a little bit, relate it back to the rules, and give a proper answer. That goes up every Friday afternoon on USAHockey.com and has been very well received. We'll take those opportunities to focus on body contact, on body checking, and all the other infractions. And I want to especially emphasize the initiative that USA Hockey is very firmly committed to as it relates to the body checking standard of play, which has been a huge focus for us, is at those levels where body checking is allowed as part of that skill progression, is essentially eliminating and minimizing those dangerous actions like boarding and charging and head contact and checking from behind, and really put the emphasis on the purpose of the body check being to separate the opponent from the puck and not to be used as a intimidation or as a punishment tool. So those are the types of initiatives that we're putting together. We finally have been able to collect video clips from youth hockey that is very applicable to our education programs. And I think you're going to see a lot more use of video in the future as it relates to providing those resources to the officials.
You know, Matt, that brings up a good question. You think about what's happening in the NHL now and that they're really vigilant about, you know, some of these dangerous hits to the head and things like that. How are the efforts of the National Hockey League helping with what you're doing at the grassroots level with youth hockey?
I think they both help and in some cases slow the process down a little bit. Obviously, the National Hockey League is a different animal than it is for youth hockey, and they have in some ways they have it easier. They have 76 officials. They have 30 teams with 30 head coaches and 30 general managers compared to USA Hockey trying to work with and educate 25,000 officials and 50,000 coaches and 40,000 teams and parents and everyone else that's part of that. So they're in a very controlled environment. You know, certainly their disciplinary process with Mr. Shanahan is, I think the biggest thing that has been a positive and has helped us a little bit from a USA Hockey perspective is the openness from the standpoint of putting together the video. They're not only suspending the player for 5 games, but they go into a very detailed video explanation as to why that particular action was deemed to be unacceptable. And even though their standard may be slightly different than USA Hockey's, that openness and that understanding for our youth players that I know, you know, watch those types of things, or they see the highlights on SportsCenter or on the NHL Network, whatever it may be, when they see that and it's explained to them as to why that particular action isn't acceptable, you got to think that that's going to make them think twice before they do a similar thing at the youth level. So that's been the positive aspect of that. Certainly, you know, we could use another entire podcast or two to discuss the fighting issue, which is a whole different ball of wax. But as it relates to the dangerous actions, you know, USA Hockey is committed to that. We do have a progressive suspension rule that goes into effect for the 2014-15 season, where any player who receives their third major penalty in the same season for an aggressive infraction essentially will face an additional suspension. So we want to focus on the repeat offenders. We realize that the vast majority and probably 99% of the players play within the rules and respect the game and respect their opponents and go out and just want to have some fun. But for that 1% or whatever it is, the handful that are the repeat offenders that constantly putting their opponents in danger, we want to be able to hold them accountable. And that rule is going into effect. And that actually was a recommendation from a firm USA Hockey supporter who happens to be a National Hockey League general manager.
Well, hey, Matt, just to end this up, I wanted to bring it all full circle and ask, as we've done in many of these podcasts, is, you know, there's a lot of great information out there regarding the ADM and all the different programs that USA Hockey has out there. But, you know, it just seems that there's always these one or two little misconceptions that go along with the ADM at all these different levels. And I'm sure that officiating is no different. What are some of the things that you hear, whether it's in your travels as a hockey dad and a hockey coach or through your work as an administrator, things that, you know, people out in the field think, but, you know, really isn't quite true?
Yeah, that's a great question, Harry. And I think the biggest misconception out there is that the ADM will ultimately produce fewer games. There'll be fewer games that are played. And since there's fewer games played at the lower levels of hockey, there should be less opportunity for officials to get involved and for newer officials to get an opportunity to work games. And I think that that's an extremely unfortunate misconception, because we have had some local areas where they've actually restricted the membership of the officials and prevented newer officials from joining our ranks simply because they didn't feel that they had enough games to be able to give them. And the reality is that if the ADM is successful in it, I think we're all fairly confident it will be in creating a better environment, a more positive environment for players to develop their skills, to have fun and enjoy hockey and develop a lifelong passion for the game. And therefore, there's fewer players that leave the game and there's more players that are playing. Even though an individual team may follow the practice to game ratio that's recommended and, you know, play 40 games at the U12 level instead of 60, the fact that there's several thousand more U12 players that are playing means that there's actually more teams and ultimately either the same number of games or more games. And we've had some areas of the country that have restricted officials for the last couple of years based on the principle of the ADM. And the reality is that they were restricting officials at the same time that they were going to need the officials 3 to 5 years later, more so than ever before, because there's more games played at the U12, U14 level with more teams and more players than there ever was before. So we would ask, and I think the challenge is for those local groups of officials to work with the local youth hockey organizations and be a little bit creative, utilize the three official system. It's not only better from the standpoint of, you know, giving more opportunities for some of those officials to go out and work and see whether they enjoy officiating or not, but it's also more positive from a long-term officiating development aspect, because they're brought into the ranks and gaining experience and gaining confidence as a lines person at the lower levels and then gradually working their way up the development ladder and creating a more positive experience for them. So that's the biggest misconception, is that the ADM is going to reduce the number of games and create less opportunities for officials, where the reality is long term, you know, it's probably going to do the exact opposite, with more kids playing, more kids having fun, and most importantly, more kids having a passion to develop the skills and being given the resources to develop the skills to play the game at a higher level. And that's going to be a challenge within the officiating program to be able to meet that demand 3 to 5 years down the road.
And also, I would say in closing that you must get a lot of your officials from player ranks. A guy who's come up through the program is a good player, is a good skater. He understands the game. He understands the rules. He understands, you know, the flow of it. And I would imagine that that kind of could provide a good feeder system into creating the officials of tomorrow as well.
No question about it. Everyone tends to agree that the best officials are those who played the game, and preferably those who played the game at a fairly high level. And the bottom line is that if there's more players that are playing at a higher skill level, they skate better, they have better understanding of the concept of the games because of all the small area games that they've been doing and practicing and practices and really having fun from that aspect of it, I think it does bode very well in terms of the potential pool of future officials that we have, which obviously makes that challenge of creating that environment for them to make sure that they enjoy officiating just like they do with playing and developing that lifelong passion for hockey, whether it be coaching, whether it be playing, whether it be officiating, or hopefully in many cases, all three.
Well, Matt, as always, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today about the world of officiating, and we look forward to having you back on another USA Hockey Magazine podcast to discuss other issues down the road.
Thanks, Harry. Let's go out and have a great season.
All right. And thanks, everybody, for listening, and tune in again when we continue to look at the American development model through our USA Hockey Magazine podcasts.